Good evening.
Welcome, Joseph Farley Prison.
And welcome. Yes, Joseph. Go ahead.
Welcome to Joseph Body Presents. Gosh, we have a great show tonight with Diane Mayigo, and we have Ned, and we have a guest, Ned, don't we?
Yes. Actually, yeah. It's Brian Kahn, and I will give it up to you guys.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead, guys. I just showed up here and came from the show. Go ahead and do the show.
Okay. Well, I'm Diana White Eagle. I'm co-producer, and as you just heard, that was Joseph Farley. And he is experiencing some problems with his beloved is in the care facility, and so he has been busy with her. Assisting me tonight is Ned Matania, and we have a call-in number for you. So if you get your pencil out, the number is 888-627-6008. And we're doing free mini medium readings, and we're also commenting on, or joining us in commenting on, our guest tonight. And our guest is Brian Kahn. And Brian, are you there?
I am. I'm here.
Well, good. Well, I'm going to introduce you. And if anybody missed that number, I'm going to say it one more time because you can call in with questions. It's 888-627-6008. Okay, Brian, you're on.
Okay. And did you want me to continue from last week and talking about my
Yes,
NDE?
You were doing so well. Yes, you were doing so well. Why don't you start with that one? And then you can segue into one of your many talents.
Okay. So in 1999, just to recap, I was ejected in a rollover, and I went out a moonroof. And I actually flew from shoulder to shoulder.
Oh, that's so gorgeous.
I ended up crossing over. And I spent 10 days on the other side while my body was on life support in a hospital. At the scene, I had a skull fracture with a bruise on the brain, a subdural hematoma. I had a broken femur. And immediately I showed up on the other side, and there were a lot of my relatives, my ancestors. They would greet me. They would say, what are you doing here? It's not your time yet. They'd give me a hug, and then they were actually gathering a ways off in the distance. And this was happening with a lot of relatives. And I recognized one of the relatives, one of my great-grandmothers. Basically, when she spoke to me, she showed when she lived, like with a genealogical history. And I knew she lived in the 1700s, and there was just an instant connection.
Wow.
And as I went to follow her, like I kept going to follow these relatives of mine, she said, stop. And she said, there's your guide over there. And I looked, and my guide, not that he waved, but he was just smiling at me because everything is telepathic on the other side. And I just knew, she just said, you just go over by him, but you can't follow me. Now, she didn't say any more than that. And then I saw her and all these other relatives that they were making circles. So I saw these two big circles, and I kept wanting to go where the circles were. Because I didn't know what, you know, I didn't know why my different sides of the family were making these circles in the air, you know, and it was, you know, things are kind of relative on the other side. They're just not that far away. But when I would go to venture to where they were, someone would stop me and say, you know, you can't come where we are. And so I went back over to my guide, and then at some point I had an experience. So my earthly father, he had passed away in 1994 on a trip to Scotland. And at some point my father came to me, and he basically apologized for a lot of his actions while being my father on Earth. Because he just said, you know, that really who I was, that's really not who I was. And because my father would say things to me like, I can't change. And I knew that had a lot to do with some of the experiences he had on Earth. But he would say, you can change, but I'm not going to change. And that was always interesting to me. But I felt that connection with my earthly father, because one of the things that happened is that he died on a trip to Scotland. He was going back to Scotland, to his home area, and it always felt incomplete, because it's like he went on a trip and never came back. Well, and I knew, unlike my siblings, that I felt a little more complete there. Because he did visit, you know, we had a moment on the other side where I felt complete and I felt his love. And it kind of, it just shifted how I had felt about his passing. And at some point, I ventured on with my guide, and then I met with Creator, or as I like to say, Heavenly Father. So I got to meet with my earthly father, and I got to meet with a lot of my, you know, like my grandparents and great-grandparents.
Well,
Brian,
was that, did you have a life review?
No, I did not. Not in this experience. You know, out of my four near-death experiences, I've only had one life review. And that's when I was around age 3, when I drowned in the pool. And I talked about that last week. So it's really kind of interesting that of the many times I've crossed over, I've only had one life review. And it was the shortest time I was on Earth.
Well, you must be okay then, kiddo. When I go, I'll probably be here for 3 weeks. going through all the stuff I've been through. But anyway,
you know, so it's, you know...
Go ahead.
Do you want me to keep going?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I then ventured, and I had a meeting with Father Creator, Mother, Heavenly Mother, and then my friend Jesus was there as well. And there's parts of this I remember and parts that I will remember when it's time to remember. So this kind of near-death experience is in three parts. There's the beginning, which I totally remember, showing up on the other side. There's a middle, that parts of it I know, but parts of it are yet to remember. And then there's the last part, where I remember coming back to my physical body. I clearly remember being in the top of my hospital room, and my guide's with me. And my guide says to me, he says, it's time for you to go back into your body. And I looked at my body and I didn't recognize myself. And I said, you know, that's not me. And I'm not going back into that. I didn't, all I remember knowing that, my body looked pretty beat up because of it left a very small, you know, square. Someone told me my body probably hit six to eight G's when I left the vehicle. And I was probably pretty beat up, even though this was 10 days later. when it was time to go back into my body. And my guide, I said to my guide, you know, let's go back. Let's go back and talk to the councils. And let's go back and make another agreement. Because this is not what I agreed to. Okay, I get I'm on the radio. Okay. So, and I kind of said, this is not what I agreed to. And I'm having this moment with my guide, and we're in the top of my hospital room. And he says, okay. He goes, what I want you to do is I want you to walk through the hospital. And when you see yourself, come back and get me. So I clearly remember walking through this hospital. And there was some beds. I remember looking at some people in beds, and I didn't have to look at their charts or anything. I just knew what was going on with them, just spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I clearly remember looking at them at whatever status they were. And then I remember wandering through various parts of the hospital, and I got to a place. And some of this came back to me in time as I was healing. I would just have glimpses. Wow. And then it took me many years to put a timeline together of my experience, you know, because of the brain injuries. But I clearly remember getting to the point where I was with the paraplegics and quadriplegics. And my guide came to me and said, you are not going to be in a wheelchair. And at that point, I said, okay, I'll go back to my body. I was told that I'd be able to walk and talk. And maybe in that moment, it didn't look like my body could do that. And as soon as I said, okay, the next thing I knew, I was in a really heavy body. I mean, it was just awful. I mean, it just felt like I had weight on my chest.
I know. You know? I've been there before. Yeah,
and
it's scary.
Yeah, so I couldn't really breathe. And the first thing I did, so I was intubated. I had a tube down my throat, a feeding tube. I was on a full respirator because I was on life support, you know. And I went to take that tube out of my mouth because I was choking. And when I went to pull on it, it hurt really bad. And I just fell asleep. And then the next time I woke up, the feeding tube was out of me. I was on a full respirator. And it was the beginning of becoming conscious, but I could remember where I had been. I didn't know anything of how I got in the hospital.
So, are you now a medium?
What's that?
Are you now a medium?
Yes, I've been doing medium work as well as some psychic work. I just call it intuitive, like I'm super intuitive. Like I have a big eye on my chest. But I have.
Let me ask you, but you didn't have that before the accident, is that right?
No, I had some gifts, gifts. That was not one of them.
Okay, I just wanted to put that in.
Yeah, so before, like, I could see auras and countenances. I could see that since I was 16. And I could sometimes I could see, you know, the light around people.
Wow, auras.
And probably the only other thing I would hear is like a voice of warning. I have had a lot of experiences with divine intervention in my life, either by warning or other things happening.
Yeah, and we can talk about that. You know, I wanted to ask you to join us. One of the things I want to do is make a difference with this show. And I think the best way we can do that is having people calling in and having you guys help them with their loved ones who they've lost. And so if you could just turn this over to Ned right now.
Sure.
And then we can talk later about you guys joining us, you and Diane and Ned, and having people calling in so that we could really make a difference and have people at peace. Because, boy, no matter how old you are, everybody, you lose someone and you're devastated. You're devastated. And so one of the reasons why I wanted to do this show is because now we know that their heaven is for real. So, Ned, are you there?
I'm here, yeah. And awesome. Thank you. Well, and speaking of all of that, like, for people who haven't heard me, I used to be suicidal when I was a teenager, and then learning about near-death experiences and mediums saved my life and have become my biggest passion. And I ended up starting the largest and first a group on Facebook about near-death experiences, which now has about 200,000 members. And I'll add that there are larger groups which are more general about the afterlife or all that. Mine is specifically focused on near-death experiences. But also, something I wanted to add about intuition, as Brian talked about, intuition is something everyone has, and it's almost like a skill or a talent. Some people are more naturally talented than others. There are people who, since being a child, would see grandparents or other deceased people, and there are other people who are just like you and I, who have never even thought about actually using our intuition, and you can actually train it. And there are mediumship groups and circles, and I participated in some of these. And I've talked about how I'm naturally a scientific person, and so I need evidence. And so over time, I trained and I realized the skeptical arguments about these are cold readings or basically people looking up information on Google, you know, it's completely false, because the process of mediumship is the opposite of the logical mind. It's shutting off your thoughts and just listening and then saying what you see and hear. And so because of that, I have not only trained in it and practiced in it, but a few times I was actually in the audience, and the medium on stage actually picked on me and told me, you know, that I can do this and it would be good if I did this. And it reminds us all that we have spiritual purposes here on earth. You know, it isn't just about a career advancement or whatnot. You know, we're all spiritual beings first.
That's right. We can all contribute, every one of us. And it's knowing, and that's, I hope we learn that in these shows that we're doing. If we can understand and get all this together, we can help so many people.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like on my part, I don't have like a conscious memory of an NDE, you know, like a lot of people have a story and it's a powerful one of a car accident or something. I don't have that. Although what's interesting, and I'm being completely honest with this because it isn't anything I would make up, but multiple NDEers have told me that I have had one, and I was an infant, extremely young, even though I don't have conscious memories of it, but it impacted my energy and my childhood and everything. And so, and there is that a connection that a lot of near-death experiencers actually become mediums afterwards, even if they never expected it, because it opens up our fields, you know, our etheric energy field.
You know, trauma does a lot for us, and that's our way to escape trauma is doing this very thing. That's one thing I do know. So, you know, as I was telling Brian, one of the things we talked about, just you and I, that anyway, is that I'd like to very much have people call in and talk to you three, you and Diana, and Brian, and get some, you know, some feedback from their loved ones, and just see how that goes, because I think that people really need to know that they're okay, that heaven is for real. So, you know, we have about 10 more minutes, and I want to say something to Diane, and then we can maybe, I think we have people who are going to call in tonight. I've had some calls, and they want to know the number and stuff. So what's that number again, Ned? Do you know the number that they can call in?
Yes, it's 888-627-6008.
And that's toll-free, guys. And do call in and see if we can give you some peace. And Diane, you talk about yourself just for a minute.
Oh, all right. I have been a medium for many, many years. And I think it happened after I also had an out-of-body experience. And because I didn't really notice it before, but I sure noticed it after. What I do is, what I seem to have happen is that when people are going to commit suicide, they come to see me, and I'm like the last stop before they decide if they're going to cross over or not. And I found when I was, I used to work out of South Lake Tahoe, and I found that to be so strange because, you know, they would come to see me, and I would tell them what they had left. For instance, this one time, and the woman has passed, so I don't feel too terribly bad. She said, after I pass, you can tell my story. She came to me. She was a lovely lady, and she had wanted to speak to her husband, and he showed up in my mind in a beautiful blue car. I could only, a convertible, and he was smiling and very handsome. And I could just see the side panel, and she says, oh, he's in the Rolls Royce. And then I saw the whole car, and that, yes, it was the Rolls Royce. Oh, he's going to the airport to pick up some of the entertainers that are our friends. And so with that, all of a sudden, I get Liberace, and he shows up with his sequence cape on, and he's smiling, and there's someone behind him with a cigar that never will show his face. But I see the cigar moving, and then I see what looks like a Rat Pack that was popular back in those times. And then Sammy Davis Jr. comes sliding out on his knees, and he's pointing to his ring and his bracelet on his arm. And I'm describing all this, and she says, yes, those were our friends. He was the jeweler to the stars. And I thought, oh, you know, it just gave me goosebumps. And then her husband, it switches scenes, and her husband's going, don't you do it, don't you do it. And what had happened was that, you know, she was going to commit suicide. She missed him so terribly that she was going to join him. And he says, nope, it's not your time. Don't you dare come up here. And then he handed her a birthday cake with 16 candles on it. And she said, oh, yes, I'm supposed to go, and I'm going to my granddaughter's 16th birthday this afternoon. But she said, I thought I'd stop here first. But she was planning on ending her life. And I just read about a month ago where she had lived 30 more years and had passed. But she was such a beautiful, lovely person. And yes, I do. I get a lot of people right before they're going to make the big decision. And they get told by the other side, no, 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 it's not your time. Don't you do this. I mean, if you do, they take care of you and you get rehab so that you can feel all the love that's up there, but they don't want you before your time. They want you to stay here, and whatever is so horrible, just stay here because you've got things to do and to help other people. But that was one of my readings. But it's
that's wonderful.
It's a different life.
You know, I've been doing this show now for 20 plus years. And when I first started, I started by doing something similar to what Ned did, was I put an ad in the paper, how many people had near-death experiences, please call me. And that was when people thought that was crazy. I mean, who does stuff like this? Well, if you do, who talks about it? And I got about 50 emails from people. And of course, I talked to them all. And I ended up having, I made a film called Home and Back. It was my first film. I directed it in a week. I had four people that one person committed suicide and came back. And it was four people that was just a real, it was wonderful. But again, it was so taboo then. People didn't buy it. But here we are now, 20 some years later. And that's all we're talking about, because now if you go on YouTube and you go near-death experiences, you'll see dozens of testimonies of people who've taken the time to talk about this. And it just makes me so happy to see that what's happening now, because again, heaven is for real. We know that you don't die. That it's just like going to a different room. And Diana's with me now for the last, 20 years, Diana?
It's about that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And Diana has, as we're going to do tonight, people call in and Diane talks with them and they leave the show just very happy because he's talked with them. Briefly, I had a couple of friends over for dinner. There were a couple of guys. We were watching football, and so I was working at the time in a flooring store, and I had a customer, so I gave the phone to a gal who worked there, who didn't even know who Diane was or who what she did, and so I just said, here, talk to her. And so and then I did my story, and I helped this guy was buying some stuff. And then so I said to her, let me have the phone back. And she said, no, I'm talking to Diane. And I said, what are you guys talking about? And she said, well, she had lost her mother, lost her dad. And she said, they're all trying to push everybody out of the way. They all want to talk with us. I laughed at Diane. I said, why were you taking so long with them? She goes, they wouldn't let me off the phone. Remember that, Diane?
I remember.
It was really funny. And so, and then, again, someone else came in, so I gave this phone to one of our guys who came over for dinner. And I gave him the phone, and when I got the phone back, he was crying. And he said to me, I wasn't ready for that yet. I said, what happened? He goes, you told me about my son I lost. And I didn't even know he lost his son. But Diane picked it right up, so. We're so happy you're with us, Diane. And between you and Brian and Ned, we want to make the difference. We want people to call in and so we can give some peace around here. So I'll let you guys take over for that. And thank you for listening.
Yeah. So, do we have anybody that's on the phone yet?
So give the number again for people want to call in.
The number is 888-627-6008. Hopefully somebody will call in. I know there was a couple of people from New York that stayed up because it's past midnight there, that they were going to call
New
in.
York, yeah.
So.
That's the only reason. Don't you only being a problem being on this late, but we're going to change that because a lot of people call from all over. And Sharon was on a couple of weeks ago, and it was 12 o'clock there. And that's a lot to ask someone to do an hour show. Who's up until midnight or after that? So, so Ned, what do you got to say, buddy?
Has been on my mind is the topic of new beginnings and new starts, and it could be because for the northern hemisphere, it's springtime here. But I just perhaps it's also spiritual because I feel like in my life and some friends, it's almost like a shift of energy. And so I'm curious if any of you guys are feeling that. But also, it isn't only like a new beginning, but it's also about expressing our hearts more into the world. And I think it is needed by the world because most of the population isn't very spiritual. Some of them are religious, and some of them are atheists, and basically don't see any afterlife or any possibility of intuition and soul. And I would say a lot of those are in academia and within the scientific and medical communities. And so I think that, Joseph, like you talked about, helping the world, even within our smaller personal issues, it'll uplift other people to higher levels, including think about this. When a population has negative emotions or depression or even poverty, because with inflation and the economy, a lot of people are struggling, and it often increases homelessness, drug use, escapism, and all that. And I say that because everything that people are dealing with is ultimately a spiritual issue. And so if we talk about helping people and helping the world, it includes from the lowest levels of that. And I definitely am a champion of that. And as part of my mediumship work of helping people, it's often with these issues where all of us are often stuck or feel as if life has us in a box and we can't get out of it. So that is something on my mind. and I'm interested to hear if anyone calls in. And actually, I just got feedback from a friend that the phone number says that it can't take any phone calls, and so I want to verify the call-in number, because on the website we have an 888 and we also have a 323 number. I hear something.
The lines may be down. I'm trying to see if there's a problem.
Okay,
yeah,
no,
I get your email.
That.
I'm saying if people are trying to call in, they can.
I'm going to play the music for a second.
Baby boy would one day walk on water.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Hello. This is the Joseph Barley Presents Show, and we're back on the air. And if you'd like to call in, the number is 888-627-6008. And we're taking calls.
And while we're waiting, Dana, something I'm curious about, approximately how many readings have you done in your life?
I can't even begin to think about that. I started when I was in my 30s, and I'm 81 now, so, you know. In a few.
Oh, wow.
And what's funny is that I don't feel any older than I did when I was like 50. So there you go. Yeah, I think
well, exactly. And I'll, I will add that you don't sound like that either. So that's awesome.
I know I mystify my doctor sometimes. But it's it keeps you young. You know, you just go to that happy little place on the other side where there's beautiful flowers and beautiful music that not like the kind we have here, but more intense. And I don't know, some people maybe don't know what happens when they first cross over. I think I'm going to mention a couple of things. This is what I understand and what I've been shown and told, that when you cross over, you're met either by your angel or a guide or a family member. Then you have a life review, and if you've been really horrible, you get to feel how that feels. What you've done to other people, you will feel what it feels like. It supposedly doesn't take too long, but it depends on, you know, what type of character you were. So, if you've been really a horrible person, I would clean your act up before I get over there, so it doesn't take so long, and you can go out and enjoy yourself with all your relatives and friends that you don't even know exist on this side that are over there waiting for you. And let's see.
I have a question.
I don't know. Have you ever? Go ahead.
The question I have is, while doing readings, have you ever given like particular warnings to people, you know, like something was about to happen and they had to make a change?
I would tell them they have choices and that they should be very careful. And I wouldn't call it, I haven't really had where it was like, this is a horrible thing that's hanging over your head. I haven't had that happen to other people. I've had it happen to me where I've ignored it and I've paid the consequences for it. But far as the other people, generally, they come and they just want to speak to their relatives, and their relatives are so happy to speak to them, even though they come and visit them all the time. But they don't realize that's, you know, the thoughts that we get sometimes are not ours. Like they're saying, hey, why don't you do that? Why don't you stop doing this? And sometimes we just think it's our mind, but it could be our dear little relative saying, you know, straighten up. I want to see you up here and not have to visit you in rehab. Which they have up there, they cocoon you and make you perfect again so that you can enjoy the beautiful music and just the colors are so intense. But go ahead.
It was either Brian or someone mentioned in the past that they had all of the clairs, meaning it's clairvoyance, clairaudience, and all those. Do you have any stronger senses, or they're all pretty much equal?
Are you still talking to Diana, or did you want me to speak up?
Yeah, you go ahead and speak up, Brian.
Both of you, yeah.
Okay, so I actually had an experience where I was on this type of retreat, and someone was about to give they were pretending to be a medium, and they were about to give a reading of someone who had passed on. And there were these other two, you know, earth people in the room, and the person, I could see the person, the spirit person. And when the spirit person was talking to this other person, they were not saying what the spirit being was saying. They were saying something totally different. And they looked at me and said, why don't you correct what's being said? And I kind of said, well, I was speaking telepathically to them and saying, I can see you and hear you, and you know this, but, you know, I'm just here waiting for a friend, and they're getting paid. You know, I basically said they're getting paid for your family to work through them to talk to you. And then the spirit being said back to me, and they said, well, but they're not listening to me. They're just making it up. Isn't there something you can do? And while I'm having this communication, this person I knew who was pretending to be a medium, because, you know, they were not saying anything the person was saying, they asked me to leave the room because they realized I was actually communicating with them, you know, with this person that was like standing up in the air. And so the people who were getting the reading, they said, why are you asking him to leave? And they were embarrassed because they knew I actually was communicating and I would have spoken the truth because, you know, I'm accountable. Anytime I've worked in this capacity as a medium, I know that I'm accountable to, you know, God or creator, whatever we want to call, to speak of, for anything that I say. And I did leave the room, but I felt really bad because the spirit being was not, the person pretending to be a medium was not conveying what he wanted his family to know. You know, I said, hey, if you can communicate to them to come talk to me, I'd be open to assist that way. But I have, as a medium, I have worked with assisting healing, similar to what Diana spoke about, is one of the first situations I dealt with was healing the relationship where someone did commit suicide. And I knew the loved one, and when he first came to visit his loved one, it's like she couldn't hear him. I could hear him, but he spoke really fast. I had to get used to him because I didn't know him in this life. But it happened over many weeks, and he continually came to communicate with me. Even within a couple of years after he passed away. So I have had experiences healing the people on this side of the veil from their spirit. And as soon as I started going to like trauma therapy is when I started seeing beings. And then at some point I was challenged to communicate, and then my whole world changed. And that was 24 years ago.
Wow. I got a message from someone that was trying to call in, and I'm being told that our number that I gave out is, okay. Okay. I can tell you one time something unusual happened to me. I was at a service club meeting for women, and there was about 30 of us in the room in a table in a big square. And this one woman kept glowing. She was just glowing and glowing. She would get up and walk around. And I remember looking at her, and she was just glowing. And I found out later that week that she passed away that night. But it was so strange because she just had this glow about her. And so I guess sometimes when we're getting ready to leave, we give little signs of that we're leaving to people who can pick it up. But that's the first time I ever saw anyone glowing and then found out that she passed. But Ned, do you have anything to say?
Oh.
Or anyone? Anybody?
I was just going to share something really quick. That I had an uncle who was in the hospital. I went to visit my mother in California, and I told her that, my uncle was getting ready to pass. And when I went to visit my mom, I was actually picking her up to bring her back to Utah, where I lived at the time. And the interesting thing was, as soon as we arrived to my house, we literally drove in the driveway. My aunt called stating her husband had passed away. And part of the conversation was, well, are you going to just come back to, California for the service? And my mom said, no, he knows me. He knows everything will be okay with the service. And as soon as my mom got off the phone with my aunt, she turned to me and said, the uncle you spoke, Uncle Johnny, just passed away. So it's just interesting that within receiving my prompting, within 12 hours, he passed away. And
oh my goodness.
So I'm going to share something. So many times, I don't know if this comes under medium or being psychic, but if I see billboards where there are missing people, or people post on Facebook, someone's missing, I will know pretty much immediately whether they're alive or they've passed.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so that happens a lot with me, where I've actually worked on a missing person case. I still haven't found the person who passed away. I haven't found the remains yet. But it's more like it was a national story And I actually have worked with police, but I'm still working with a retired police officer to find the person's remains. Because that person actually came to me to find them.
Yeah, and told you where they were. I've worked with someone was lost in
me.
Yosemite. Go ahead.
I wasn't given GPS. I was just shown where it is.
No, it was them going, hey, I'm over here. Just look a little harder. I know I worked with another medium with the police, and an exchange student had been lost in Yosemite, and no one could find her, or I can't remember if it was a her or a him, but together we found her. I'm thinking it was
a
woman. And she was partially hidden. When she fell down the cliff, the sand came and covered part of her. So that's why they were having trouble finding her. But we found her. We found her. I don't prefer to do that only because it really takes a lot out of my body. And I'm very happy to be able to help somebody. But it's just that one is when I'm trying to find people who have passed. Be it someone's looking for what really happened in a murder, those things I don't prefer to do anything like that. In fact, I had one experience where I was asked, and it was somebody fairly popular, and I had to turn it down because it was too heavy on my heart. It was making my body feel really strange. But well, we have about 5 more minutes, so I understand our phone line is not working, and we had a couple of people wanting to call in, but maybe next week we'll be on again. But does anyone have anything to say that would take about 3 minutes?
I do.
Okay,
go ahead.
You can go ahead.
Thank you. Well, something that I wanted to talk about is, like, the more that I kind of dig into the mediumship world, and being a scientist at heart and having a kind of intellectual mindset, it's really interesting because I'm trying to reconcile using these senses or this intuition for, I would say more, what's the word? How do I explain it? Sometimes people talk about why don't they ever tell us how to invent new things or the answers to challenging mathematical equations, and I think that sometimes they actually do this. But the question I have is, in your experience, are people in spirit basically at the same level of understanding as they are here? In terms of if a person who is not really that intellectual or into math in spirit, would they know the answers to crazy equations, or it would take an intellectual soul to answer those kind of questions?
What I've experienced is that whoever is on the other side is like giving information to the research people down here, because they've found they've gone a little bit further than what we're doing down here, and they have more answers. Is that the same thing you have, Brian?
Well, similar. It's like I look at if I wanted answers to mathematical, I would connect to a mathematician. Like, I would connect to someone like Einstein. Or, but a lot of times, because I experience a lot of masters as mentors.
Mm-hmm.
Like I,
me too. Yep.
I've had like the changing of mentors often, And a lot of times the mentors are about mastering one's life, which means a lot more spiritual fine-tuning or raising my vibration. Or you know, working on healing people or doing remote work. It's really about raising the vibration of people on the earth. And some of that really has more to do, there is mathematics involved in certain sequences like Fibonacci or something like that. But when we're talking about raising people's vibrations, it's usually about transforming the darkness into the light. And I do a lot of remote healing type work where I'm literally I have these gifts where I transform dark to light, because the light is always greater than the dark. And that's one thing to let people know, that that is so important to be the light.
Absolutely. Okay, we are closing up. Thank you so much. This concludes our program for tonight. We'll be back next Sunday at 9 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you to you, Brian Cobb, and of course, my person that helps me a lot, Ed Mantanilla. And it was nice to hear from Joseph. Our phones, as I said, weren't working tonight, but they will be next week. And this, I'd like to say a big thank you for listening.